To start with, I want to think about those, the well-known words that we say pretty much every time we come to communion. And this isn't the reading as such, but when we come to, we thought about the cup last time, didn't we? The cup of thanksgiving. And the third cup of the Passover was done after the food was eaten, and it was a celebration of the freedom that the people had got. I want to think about the cup again this evening. But in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." And I want to think about the new covenant in my blood. I want the Lord to take these and just to, the reason I'm sharing this is just to bring a little depth of meaning to what we do. It's very easy, isn't it, for us to come to communion and we just do it. It's what we do every month. And we enjoy and we appreciate the solemnity and taking bread and taking wine. But what is it about? And if by God's help tonight I could just shed a little bit into that, then that's what I'd like to do, to give us a little bit more meaning. To speak of a new covenant, this is the new covenant, obviously implies that there was an old covenant. I'm clever like that, to notice things like that, you know? If there's a new covenant, there was obviously an old covenant. And it's the old covenant that gives the new covenant its context. So we need to understand the old covenant before we really will have any sense of the new covenant. So most of the few minutes I want to talk with you this evening, we're going to think about the old covenant. The old covenant was the way that God related to his people in what we know as the Old Testament. Now, do you know that testament is another name for covenant? So the first part, the first 39 in the old, that's right, 27 in the new, 39 in the old, 66 altogether. So the 39 books that we know as the Old Testament, actually it's the Old Covenant. It is the period of time that the people were living under the old way that God related to his people. And the covenant was put into effect in Exodus. And turn back with that in your Bibles and we'll have a look. And you might want to underline, you might want to just score or highlight some of the passages that I want to take you to tonight. Exodus chapter 19. The Israelites have had the Passover, they've escaped from Egypt, they've gone through the Red Sea, they've gone through the desert for a little while, and they've reached Sinai. And it's at Sinai that they stop and make camp, and some of the most momentous, probably the momentous occasion for the Israelite nation started there, because that was where they became a nation. That was where they became identified as a group of people with an agreed identity, not simply the family of Abraham, but the people of God. So just a few verses in Exodus 19. Martin, you might want to put these on the screen if you're quick, but don't worry about it if you're not. But chapter 19, verses 3-8. I'm going to read these verses to you. Have a look in your Bible, read along or follow along on the screen if they come up. When Moses went and told the people of all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set the 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as a fellowship offering to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Now, this is the really important part. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant." We could put in there, "This is the blood of the old covenant." In our time, it's the old, but that was all they had. This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. So what follows after that? That's the origins of the covenant. That was where God instituted this agreement, this promise, this arrangement, this way that he would relate to them and they would relate to him. This is where it starts. And what follows in the chapters after that, and right through Leviticus, and if you were here last Sunday morning, I kind of did this stuff then as well, were the rules of the covenant, the agreement that they were going to follow, the legislation, the rules, as well as the sacrifice system that they would have for when they broke that covenant, when they broke their part of the agreement. In essence, the promise that God made to them was that he would look after them and that he would live with those people in a unique relationship. They would be his treasured possession. Given who he was, given what he'd already done, and we read about that in verse 4 of chapter 19. In verse 4, it says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." So that's what God has done. And this God, the God of miracles, is the one who says, "I will do this for you." And he gives them the offer. Will you obey? Will you do it? Are you up for it? And they respond, they will. It's quite a staggering arrangement, quite a staggering offer that he makes them. Their part in response was to honor him, to respect him, to obey him by following his rules. That's all they had to do. It's not difficult. And if you were offered that deal, you'd take it, wouldn't you? If God comes and he says, "You come to me, you follow me, do things my way, I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will give you a wonderful inheritance," you'd do it, wouldn't you? You know what? That's exactly what he did. That's the offer that he gives to us in Jesus. We come to him and we come into, as we will see tonight, a better arrangement. But that's the offer when Jesus calls us to himself. It's not to follow a set of rules. It is to come into relationship. And it is a promise to bless us, to be our God. Now, sadly, and I think we all know this, the people were simply incapable of keeping their side of the covenant. They went through endless cycles of disobedience and punishment and repentance and restoration, and it kept happening until God finally got to a point where they had just proved incapable of keeping their side of the bargain. And he kept his other side of the bargain, which was, look, if you don't honor me, if you don't obey me, if you go after the gods of the nations around and don't keep exclusively to me, then I will scatter you among the nations. And that was what happened. 700 odd BC and 600 odd BC. First up into Assyria, secondly, they went across to Babylon. You know that part of the Old Testament. That's the old covenant. Whilst they're in the midst of that, the prophet Jeremiah is given a word from the Lord, and he starts to talk about a new covenant. Let me read to you Jeremiah 31, or verse up to part of that chapter. I've got the verses down here. I think it's from 31 to 34. This is what he says. "The time is coming, declares the Lord." This is Jeremiah 31. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. No longer is it a national thing, it's going to be an individual thing. This promise and this hope, these words of Jeremiah became so ingrained in the Israelites that when Jesus took the cup and said those words, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, their hair would have stood up on the back of their necks. These were huge words. This was Jesus saying the promises of Jeremiah, the promises of the old prophets, this is it. They told you, they foresaw, they pointed forward to a time of a new covenant. And I am now putting into place this new covenant in my blood. What's new? Well, there were a number of things, certainly not the promises. The promise, the idea was that God would still be with his people as he had been before. What had proved impossible in the past was that the people were incapable of keeping the law. God was in the new covenant was going to change that. He says here, I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts. No longer will it simply be external, it will be internal. Something is going to happen internally, inside of them. He will write it on their hearts in a sense so that they cannot forget it. That's one thing he'll do. And then with the coming of Jesus, we find that like so many things, Jesus fleshes out what the likes of Jeremiah was meaning. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we find that not only does it get written on our hearts, but Peter talks about how he changes our nature when we are born again. He speaks about the new covenant and being born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 15 speaks about being new creations. So we get a new start. We talked about that this morning a little bit, didn't we? And as if that is not enough, it gets written on our heart. We get born again, so we become new creations. There's another thing. The third thing is that when Jesus went to heaven, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit is given to every single child of God. Every single person that comes into relationship, every single person that agrees and comes into the covenant by faith receives the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 speaks of being chosen, adopted into Christ, and then being sealed with the Holy Spirit. So God is doing something different to what he did. This is so much better than the old covenant, which broke down by people's inability to keep it. Now he's changed our heart. He's given us the ability. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. These are gifts from God, which means that in this new covenant, there is no chance of it failing. It cannot fail because God has come and he said, not only am I going to do my side, I'm actually going to do your side for you as well. Isn't that wonderful? This is where we talk about grace. This is where we talk about God's favor. This is where we say that salvation is from start to finish. It is all of God. He started it, he did it, and he will keep it going. We are safe in him. This is the new covenant. So where does the blood come in? This cup that we'll take in a few moments, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, he said. Do you remember how the Old Testament, the Old Covenant was ratified? Back in Exodus, chapter 24, we find, having given the Ten Commandments, the Old Covenant was ratified. Let me read to you. Read along, follow along with me. Exodus chapter 24 and verses 5 through to 8. You read these just now. Then he sent the young Israelite men, and they offered the burnt offerings and sacrificed the young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half the blood, put it on the bowls, the other half sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant, read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people. This is the blood of the covenant. Now, does that start to make sense to you? Does it start to fit in with what we're talking about? This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you. And then, so they took the blood, they splashed it on the altar, they splashed it on the bowls, the utensils, they splashed it over the people. So they literally would have taken blood and they would have been throwing it over the people. You would have been splattered with blood if you were part of the Israelites. It was important that you had the blood, by the way. It was important that you were splattered with the blood because that was the sign, that was the symbol. You remember the blood? We talked last Sunday about the blood over the door. It was important that you were sheltering under in a house that had got the blood on it. And here, it's important that you've got the blood. And then, what happened after that? We didn't read these verses. Verse 9, Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders went up, and they saw the God of Israel. Can talk about that another time, how they saw God. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of Israel. They saw God. They ate and they drank. The blood was shed. They went up and they had a meal with God. What are we doing tonight? We're having a meal with God. The covenant was made, the agreement was made, the blood was shed, and they had a meal with God. The night that Jesus took the blood, took the cup, took the bread, they were having a meal together. We're having a meal with the Lord tonight. We are sitting down with him. And as we receive the bread, as you receive the cup, you're saying again, "Yes, Lord, I am believing. I am trusting in you. I am agreeing to the covenant. I'm agreeing to your rule in my life. I am submitting to you." This is more than simply remembering something that happened in the past. We're taking this and applying it to ourselves tonight. And that's why we will always say that this is something for those who love Jesus, those who've come to faith in him. Because this is enormous. To take the bread, to say, "Yes, Jesus, I'm going to submit to you. I'm trusting your death on my behalf because Jesus' blood was shed for us. I'm trusting you." To say that but not mean it, to take the blood and not to mean it, just makes a mockery of it, doesn't it? So when we say that this is for those who have trusted Jesus, we're not being awkward. We're better than anybody else. We're just saying, that's the meaning of it. So I would love and pray that you're all trusting Jesus tonight. And if you are, then do come and take this cup as it comes round, and the bread as it comes round is brought round to you. And tonight we'll feed on Jesus. We'll feed on what he has done for us on the cross. And we'll know that his body was, he lived it for us. And his blood was shed for us. And we're trusting in the blood of Jesus. We're sheltering, as it were, under the blood. And very often, we will mention and make a point of saying the connection between believing and being baptized, simply because the New Testament way was that when somebody believed in Jesus, the way of showing that was to be baptized in water by immersion. That's why we make the connection as a church. That's why we do it that way. It's the way it's been done historically. Baptism comes first as a first step. So if you've not been baptized by immersion tonight, I'm just looking around. I don't know how many people that applies to. But if you haven't, then please come and see me. Let's get it sorted out that you obey the Lord. No good wanting to take the bread and the wine and have the fun part without doing the obedience bit. So I just encourage you to go the whole thing. Take it on with Jesus. If you're loving him, trusting him, and we'll get you baptized as well. But this is the blood of the covenant. It's confirming our trust and our belief in Jesus. It's saying who we are. It's saying who he is in our lives. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He said, do this until I come again. And so we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, until we will share around the table of the King. May you each know his blessing, his protection, his presence, and his joy and peace. We live this week until we wait for the coming of our King and we see him and enjoy him forever. God bless you. Amen.